Hello. Great to see you guys. Thanks for coming out. We're so happy you're here. I just want to commend you for coming. Thank you for being here today. We have a lot of options, don't we? Especially on Saturdays. Don't we love Saturdays? Oh, what would we do without Saturdays? But you're all very busy. You have many, many things you could be doing. But in God's sovereignty, we're here together. I really believe that. I've been praying for you for many, many weeks that God would not let anything keep you from coming. That there were even probably things that came up even this morning, right, where you think, maybe I should just cancel, maybe I should just not go, but you came anyway. And I believe it's like a feast here. Dottie and the team have put together this feast of beauty at every turn, all the details. Tiffany, I mean, every detail, you just see it. Don't you love beautiful things when someone takes time? They've set a table for us that is absolutely beautiful. And so we're going to dive into our panel discussion. As Dottie and I were dreaming together months and months ago, kind of our first lunch together where we started thinking about today and what this might be, dreaming together about it, and we talked about having a panel. I have done many women's conferences over the years. And one of the reasons I love doing a panel is because it gives voices that wouldn't necessarily be a speaker on their own to share, and in hopes that we'll really see ourselves in what we're dialoguing about and talking about, almost like sitting down in our living room and just chatting with a girlfriend. And so that's what we want to do today. I'm going to introduce you to our guest panelists. Lisa Winans, dear friend of mine, who led worship this morning. She is a force in the music industry as a minister, married to her husband, Juan. They have one daughter, Sophia. We love them dearly. We do a lot of life together here and there and everywhere. Lisa had an interesting career in the music industry, she and her two sisters. If you've ever heard of the group Out of Eden, anybody remember that amazing group? There they are. This is one of the three that was in Out of Eden. And I love hearing, I'm always asking Lisa to tell me the stories of how they did it, because they were, how old were you guys? 13, 15, 17, they all can sing like crazy, and they form a group, and they travel for years, and then all went their separate ways, not relationally, but just as life took them on to being doing other things, and yet we have the benefit of all of our years of experience and leadership, been on staff at churches, doing many, many things. But come on up, Lisa. We want you to be a part of our panel. We'll give a round of applause for Lisa. And I guess I'll sit over here so you can pick whatever thing. Then we have Melissa. How do you pronounce your last name?
Qualley.
And Melissa, we actually met Melissa and her husband Brent. Last year, Ron and I came out and spoke to the New York Jets team and their wives. And they've been on the team, you told me, 5 years, right?
Six seasons.
This is your sixth season. She and Brent are from Nebraska. That's where they met, but they have been a part of the New York Jets team. Melissa has her own things going on in her own right. Grew up in a military family, which was probably good preparation for the NFL, right? Never know where you're going to be next year, but you go and God blesses. And she's got some other fun things to talk about. But come on up, Melissa. We're so happy you're here. And last but not least, Marge Garcia, who she and her husband are very involved here at our church in New Jersey. She is a multidimensional woman. She is athletic. She's got health and fitness in her back pocket. She leads our children's ministry here. If you ever want to bring your kids, boy, it's a joy to be a part of that. And so, Marge, come on up. We're going to talk to you. She's also one of my fashionista friends. I always love to see what she's wearing because it's so cute and so put together. We always compare, right? Oh, I got that at Zara. Yeah, I got that at Zara, too. We love Zara. But thank you, ladies, for being a part of this. And we're just going to chat and talk a little bit about dreams, the concept of what we're the conference today, when passion meets purpose. And Dottie did just such a brilliant job. Wasn't that a great, inspiring message? Talking about her journey. Don't we love to hear about someone else's journey? That's always my favorite thing. In fact, if we took our, Lisa said it in worship this morning, if we took the microphone around, talked about the faithfulness of God, talked about your journey, where you started, how you got where you are. We need each other's stories. It keeps us encouraged in our own story as we journey along. So much of what we do feels random, but yet it's not. And I really want to start with that question this morning about, Lisa, we'll start with you. And I give a little background on your journey, but can you talk a little bit about, now that you get to be this age and this stage in your life, and you look back on this very diverse set of experiences, how would you describe what the Lord has shown you, and we've had some talks about this, about seasons and about how nothing is for naught with God, right? Yes. It all matters. It all comes together. Tell us a little bit about how you, in your own heart and mind, when you think about your life, and you're still so young, in so many ways, there's so many things yet to come, how do you make sense out of it? And how does it, how do you live with your past, dream for your future, and not just feel like it's been random in a lot of ways? Because you've had so many different categories.
Yes, so many different categories. And I think the most interesting thing is sometimes God will show us right away, and sometimes it could be years before you see what he's doing and where he's brought you from or why he did what he did. I think probably the most poignant story that I could tell, so my sisters and I, we grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and my mom was a concert pianist, and you know, I remember she got her master's, and she, you know, while she was a single parent, and you know, she would come home to practice, and we would dance ballet all the way, you know, around, and I was responsible for, you know, the food and like making dinner because she was working.
Wow.
And then she got married to my then stepdad, who had his family was very affluent. He, you know, was very wealthy, and you know, was like, oh my goodness, you know, like this is great. And we moved, you know, we had this beautiful neighborhood and this beautiful house, and you know, we had like plum trees and peach trees in the backyard and all this kind of thing. Just wonderful. What was, you know, panning out to be like this. This was it, you know, this was gonna be this great thing. And then he made like a series of investments and lost everything. And, you know, we were kids, so we didn't know everything at the time, but I was around 13, and they said, we're moving to Nashville, Tennessee. My mother got a job directing the Fisk Jubilee Singers, which is a prestigious singing group at Fisk University, a historically black college and university. But we moved from our beautiful five-bedroom house with a, you know, giant backyard to the hood, like straight up, like the hood. And I remember driving and thinking, there must be a mistake. I don't know where we are right now. But there's, wow. this can't be of God. And I remember, like when we settled in, I mean, to this shotgun house, and I mean, like drug dealer next door, bullets, you know, gang activity happening, and the kids, you know, from the neighborhood coming up to us and, you know, saying, where are you guys from? And we're saying, we're from Richmond. And they're like, why do you talk like that? You got an accent. I was like, I do not have an accent. And then, so I didn't understand, God, why would you do this? Why would you put us in this situation? Why would we have to go from, you know, even before my, you know, parents, my mom and my stepdad got married, we were fine. But why did you basically bring us to this, to poverty? I don't understand. Like, you're supposed to be faithful. You're supposed to be a provider. You're supposed to be all these things. And then we meet this lady. They have this talent show down the street from our house. And my sisters and I are like, oh, well, let's go do the talent show, you know. So it's the three of us at this talent show. Jamie Foxx is the host. This is before he was like, I think the Jamie Foxx show had just kind of started. And I mean, it's like gangster rap, everything. And then there's the three of us like singing. And we meet this lady. Now this is walking distance from our house. This is how we were able to get there. We meet this lady who then introduces us to DC Talk. DC Talk, Toby McKeon from DC Talk signs us. And then Out of Eden is born, and we have a 12, 14-year career ministering to people all over the world and ministering to girls that were in the exact same situation that we were in. I would not have known how to reach out to some people if I hadn't been through some things, if I hadn't been in their situation and been in their environment. So God moved us from Richmond, Virginia to Nashville, Tennessee, so we could walk across the street, basically, or down the street, and our destiny could be born.
Oh, amazing. So encouraging. So encouraging. If you wake up some mornings and go, how did I get here? Yeah. Right? You got here because God is not leaving you there. He's moving you somewhere. It's a powerful story. Oh, so amazing. Melissa, you you live in a life that many people think it's glamorous, right? You are pretty glamorous. You look cute as a bug. But talk to us a little bit about the real life pieces and what you've discovered of God in the not so glamorous parts, especially being among so many other glamorous people who don't have Jesus.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, is this on? Clearly I'm not. I'm not used to being up on a stage talking to people. But being in this NFL lifestyle, I think one of the hardest things is everyone seems to have an opinion on what it's like or an idea of what your life might be like. And, you know, they see the games on Sundays, the events that we get invited to, the contracts, all of that. And while all of that is there and it's, we're so blessed to be a part of it. There's so much more to the life that might not be evident to the naked eye. For example, this year, my husband is actually on the injured reserve right now.
Wow.
He had just gotten back from a left knee surgery during spring training, just in time to come back for training camp. And then, of course, in the third practice of the training camp, a guy landed on his knee the wrong way, and he had a tibial plateau fracture. So after that happened, it was, you know, he's had dealt with a lot of injuries before, but it was the first super serious, like, potentially season-ending injury that I had been with him for. And I'm going to be honest, we were in a really dark place for those first couple days after this happened. You know, what? We didn't have answers from the doctors yet. Didn't know how long it was going to be. Is this like a, you know, a 6-12 week injury? Is it going to end his season? Is it going to end his career? Like, this could, all that this that we have that we're expecting could be gone in an instant. And what do we have to fall back on? We have our faith. Mm-hmm. How lucky, how blessed are we that we were, you know, at some point, at different points in each of our lives, but at some point, somebody introduced us to Christ. Mm-hmm. Somebody introduced us to the fact that in Him, we ultimately have what we need. Mm-hmm. He was there for, you know, the Lord. There was a lot of prayer, a lot of cursing, a lot of anger at first. Like, I'm not going to lie. That's how it was at first. We were angry, but then, you know, just through prayer and through talking to people who have maybe been there before, sharing their story of how they've gotten through it, we now have this unexplainable peace and calm with what happened, and have been able to have a better perspective that ultimately we'll get back to where we need to be. God will lead us there. And God has us where we are right now in this injured period for a reason. Yes. We might have more time to concentrate on other things that He wants us to be doing. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, having our faith has really been like the backbone of not only our marriage, but just our whole life and how we're able to look at things in maybe a more positive manner than we would without Him. So,
yeah. I mean, it's through both of what you both shared, it's so encouraging because so often, and now being this age, when someone, I'll be ministering to someone and they start sharing with me a trial they're going through or a challenge or just this apparent, like, just devastation thing that happens, right? I've grown to realize that it's usually the mark of the anointing on their life, that God takes us through the valleys, that he takes us through the deserts. You know, I think of King David, who was actually anointed king by Samuel, the prophet, and then spends the next 13 years running for his life, hiding in caves. Can you imagine? Why could he pen the Psalms? Because when you imagine him out there all by himself saying, "Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in..." You have nothing else to hope in except that there's a bigger script being written. There's something bigger. That's why we come together on a Saturday, to hear stories. Why? Because I need courage for my story. And when you talk about it, then I go, wow. See, it's not hard for us to sit here and look at Melissa and go, God's going to do something for this couple, right? He's got something bigger. It's not just the NFL. That's a part of your story, but there's something bigger. And then when we're together, we're reminded of that. It really helps.
Can I share a verse that Please. Just really helped me get through the beginning of this time? Was in Isaiah 55, that I'm going to not get the words exact, but your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, as far as the heavens are from the earth. That is so.
Yes.
That really helps me.
Yes. We can trust a God who knows what he's doing. Amazing. Marge, what's triggering it in your heart as you're sitting here listening to these stories? Tell us a little bit about one of those junctures for you. Maybe you've been going through, you were on a path and something almost seemed to intercept or cut you off and rechannel you. Talk to us about a moment when you've had something similar.
Yeah.
So I know a couple of your moments, but I want you to share.
Yeah, so I kind of like can resonate with Lisa when she was talking about her childhood and, you know, how it, you know, it evolved into what she has right now. So, you know, I came from the Philippines and we just moved here about maybe 11 years ago. So, you know, when I was little, Pastor Dari showed me a picture of me, right? Which is very rare, because my sister-in-law just sent that to me, and I don't have much pictures when I was young because my family left me when I was 5 years old and they moved to different countries to work for good reasons. And I was left alone in the Philippines by myself, two relatives, and I've moved from, you know, one house to another from the very young age of 6 years old. And so it's hard for me to see purpose because I've been just, you know, passed along from one family to another. And, you know, I just, you know, so thank God that when I was in college, I submitted my life to the Lord, and that just was really a good turnaround in the table, because I heard from God, and my father passed away also when I was 2 years old. So I have no mom, no dad, no siblings back home, and it was just so hard because I'm not seeing a purpose in my life. I'm just going to school and doing whatever my relatives is going to tell me. So there's no a father figure in my life. And when I met the Lord and submitted my life to him when I was 18 years old, that's when I knew that God has something for me, that he has a purpose for me. And I can really now remember the verse that he told me in Isaiah, that do not fear, I have redeemed you, I called you by name, you are mine. And, you know, and that's when I see myself having a purpose. Then I started joining, you know, I went to Every Nation Church in the Philippines and started serving. That's why my heart is really so much for serving, because I felt in my life no one has served me. But when I met the Lord, and I've seen the things that he have done in my life, and that's where my heart started wanting to serve and serve and serve. And you know, I graduated college, and then an opportunity came. I moved here to America, which 11 years ago, with $300 and two luggages. And I left everything, all my not so fancy shoes, Pastor Dottie, but I left a lot of shoes back home because it's only two luggages and, you know, $300. And so our dream began, me and my husband. And so we came here as occupational therapists, but God has greater plans for us. I'm still working as an occupational therapist up to this date. I'm a pediatric OT in a special ed school in New York City.
Wow.
But then that's not my that's not just my purpose. You know, God has something great for me, and you know, we here we are the children's ministers here at Every Nation Church, New Jersey. which is, by the way, a surprise, because 5 years ago, we were invited to a barbecue party, and I didn't know that that was a recruitment party to plant the church here in Every Nation Church, New Jersey. You think I don't like...
Clever.
Yeah. You think I'm like, you know, this tiny, but I love hamburgers and hot dogs back that time. So we came for free food. And then, you know, Pastor Bruce said, if you have a heart to serve him in New Jersey, and we were like, no, we live in New York, we live in, you know, why would we go to New Jersey? But then me and my husband, we were talking in the car back to New York, and we were like, you know what, let's be fair. Let's pray about it and see where God is leading us. And lo and behold, it was so strong that God is really telling us, I want you to go to New Jersey, to go there, to serve there. We didn't know what we're going to do. The children's minister at that time went back to Texas, moved to Texas, and we told Pastor Adam, you know what, we're going to oversee the children's ministry for 2 months because we're volunteers anyway, 3 months. And then 5 years later, we're still here, we're doing the children's ministry. You know, so for many, many things in my life, I think everything happened just like landed on our plate, on our lap by accident. But nothing is an accident with the Lord. You know, even moving here, being an occupational therapist, it's not just work. There's something greater that God has for us. And we're just so very grateful that things are happening the way God planned it to be, not the way we planned it to be. We came here and we were like, yes, let's go to America, the American dream, buying a house and doing all those things, you know, the car and the career. Those things are all great, but the greatest thing is really serving God. The greatest thing is really, like, you know, giving our time. And you have so many things on our plate. Like Lynette said, we do obstacle course racing. My son is into Boy Scouts. But we just love, you know, first and foremost, serving the Lord with our time. Yes.
Powerful. I'd like to, and we're going to take about 7 or 8 more minutes here, but I'd like to just do a quick round robin with you three about how do you stir up the dreams in your heart? Practically, I'm talking really practical. Do you listen to podcasts? Do you get around people? Like, how do you do it? Melissa, what comes to you? When you think about what gets you to feel, wow, I could do more than this?
Right. I would say a big thing in my prayer life with God. Yeah. I try to form every prayer with Lord. Instead of just always asking him for what I think that I need and what I want, say, Lord, if this be your will, let this be done. If this be your will, show me this way, you know, show me this path. And I think that's really helped me to, I guess, to never be disappointed by my prayer life, because I know that I can, even if I don't get something that I'm looking for or that I want, I can be confident that there's a reason. I might not know it now. It might be 5, 10 years down the road. But, you know, God is showing me why I don't need or want that and why that's not good for me. Mm-hmm. Practically, also, I love podcasts. I do love podcasts. they're like This American Life, and there's another one called How I Built This, which is by interviews with other entrepreneurs and, you know, of big companies that have sold for millions, billions of dollars, and just hearing their story from the beginning to the end or somewhere in between has really inspired me to, you know, do more than I'm doing now and always looking for the next step.
Yes, yes. You're about to have your first baby.
We are, yes. So we're entering into a new chapter.
Yes, you're 4 months along. Who would even know? She's so cute and thin. But dreaming now for a new season and what God's got.
Right, and talking to other moms has been really, really very helpful. I think there's, especially early on in my pregnancy, there was so much anxiety that I just was always almost looking for something to be wrong, like just never knowing if everything was going to be okay. And I think back to my 10-week ultrasound, which was the first ultrasound where you hear the heartbeat and you know that the baby's okay. I just burst out in tears of joy when that sonography tech, you know, I see that little baby jumping around in that ultrasound screen, and that was one of those moments where, you know, just, you know, we talked about peaks and valleys in your faith. that was a peak. That was, God is real. How can this life, how can this child be inside of me if God is not real?
Yes. Amazing.
It was a really beautiful moment.
So, so good. Lisa, what about you? What do you think of to stir your dreams?
Thank you.
I'll just lay this down at the altar.
So for me, daydreaming is huge.
Yeah.
I like to spend time just thinking about possibilities. I think sometimes we get really busy and we stop daydreaming and we stop dreaming. Sometimes I think we have a tendency as humans, like our brains are wired to cut that process short, and immediately you have an idea and it just, all the reasons why you can't do it come up just so rapidly. And so I try to just like take an idea to the farthest extent of the good and what's possible before kind of my natural mind takes over with all the naysaying and all the, that can't happen. So spending time in daydreaming, and also my friends and my peer group. Oftentimes the people that are around us, that are close to us, can see gifts in us that we can't see, or perhaps they can see how a gift could play out. So if you are able to set a beautiful table and set, all this up, then they could say, oh, have you thought about event planning? Or, oh, have you thought about this? And it helps to kind of be a marker where you can say, no, I haven't. And, that actually doesn't resonate. But there's also moments where it's like, oh, no, I haven't. And that, that actually does resonate. And that's kind of a cool thing. So a lot of times, or going to conferences and events like this, I did one with Lynette in North Carolina where we, outlined our purpose. And I've used that as a benchmark for myself, when people give ideas or say, oh, you should, I love to cook, you should open a restaurant. Like, I don't actually want to open a restaurant, and that's not really in my purpose statement. So it's a cool idea, but it's not anything that causes my heart to beat. But I appreciate the ideas because it helps me to kind of be guided along the right path.
Yeah. When you mentioned that, I think one of the things as we're thinking about our dreams is when I was in college, I wanted to either go into fashion or home design. And I was going to be a home ec major, and this was just my passion. These are my two things I love. And then I really felt like God wanted me to go to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they didn't offer any of that. And now I was really torn. I really feel like I'm supposed to go to ORU, but whatever. And the Lord just really assured me that my hobbies would have plenty of space for fashion and design, and that it wasn't my purpose, but there would be room. And so I want to encourage you that maybe you're even in a really busy season where you don't have a lot of bandwidth, you just hang in there with God, because you'll be amazed at how your interests, your hobbies, the things that you love, it's crazy how God will begin to weave different pieces together. And we feel random as people so often, but God's weaving it together. Yeah. And you just stick with the Lord long enough, and He will incorporate all of it back together. And it's so exciting.
Just to piggyback on what you just said, because I was listening to this Audible book, and she was talking about like your life and your purpose building bricks. And you may have, plan A, but often it doesn't turn out like plan A. And I was just thinking as I was listening to it, I was like, it's like God, like He weaves these things. And like you said, we take those steps, and then you turn around and you're like, oh, you brought this all back and you worked this all out for my good, as Pastor Dottie says. So it's just, it's interesting how He does that.
It really is. It's one of my favorite things of getting older is looking back and seeing time after time after time after time. And you know how when someone gives you a present for no reason, it's not your birthday, aren't those like the most fun presents? Because you're not expecting them. You're not even like, disappointed because, oh, I wanted this for my birthday. And they go, no, it's like you weren't even expecting a present. And that's how God does. God just gives us these things that we wouldn't even ask for. And people show up and you're like, I was just looking for that. And that's how the Lord is. Final thought from you, Marge, before we close. How do you stir up the dreams in your heart?
Really, with me, it's like staying in a connect group. very important for me because, you know, I'm the person who I love doing things together in a group. I can't go to the gym by myself. I have to sign up to a studio wherein there's like 20 other people because that steers me up. You know, that when I look at them and I'm tired, that's when I have to run more. When I do obstacle course racing up in the mountain, when I'm on the 8 mile, 9 mile, when I see 50 other people doing the same thing, you know, I keep doing it. I always, you know, I've shared this one time in my Connect group, like, you know, when you run a marathon and when you do obstacle course racing, sometimes you feel like it's so hard. You can't keep going. You can't, you know, your feet hurt, your knees is bothering you already. But when you think that those elite racers run the same course, maybe they ran it faster than you. Maybe you're taking a little slower, but you're stepping on the same step that where they're stepping on. And the same thing is I surround myself with godly women. Like I have Pastor Dottie, Tiffany around me, and the ladies in our Connect group, that when I'm having a difficult time in my life, I look to them and I ask for prayers and I become vulnerable and share to them what I'm going through. I mean, I always say you don't have to share it with everyone, but you have to share it with someone. You have to speak it out in order for the enemy not to give you the lies in your life so that you keep going and reach your purpose. And no matter what happens in your life, no matter the challenges and the hindrances, you just gotta know that God is a purpose for you, and these ladies around you will remind you of that, and that's a big thing for me.
Oh, huge, right? That's why we would come today, right? We could go podcasts, we can watch messages online, TED Talks, everything, but then we get to come together. And actually, we're about to go to lunch together and sit at these tables, right? Because you need to be able to look people in the eye and say, wow, this person has cheered me on today, has helped me believe it's possible, telling me I'm not crazy, right, for wanting that thing. Don't you love that? Girlfriends will tell you you're not crazy. You think that you're like so tired of your prayer request, right? Your same old prayer request that you pray for years. And you're like, I'm so sorry, but, you know, I'm struggling again. They're like, that's okay. We're going to pray again. Why? It's so easy to pray about someone else's request. You get sick of your own, but you rarely get sick of someone else's. And so thank you, ladies, so much. I mean, goodness, we could spend an hour with each of you talking about what you've learned. But it's fun, too, isn't it, every once in a while, to share with someone else. You put words to your own process, and you think, wow.
Yes.
God actually did help me in that moment, right? That is what I pray. That is what I think. And you all have inspired us today. So thank you, Tiffany.